Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Reality After Show coverage of the Traitors US streaming on Peacock episodes 3 and 4 After Show. I'm Johnny Fairplay. I got, as always, Dan Monchel, Alex Trias, but we have two special guests. And one joined us for episodes 1 and 2. If you haven't seen those, go watch those first. It makes sense to watch episodically. I mean, Michael, I cannot wait to introduce you, but before I do, I got to say this. There is a fan group. I can't remember. I want to say Survivor, and I posted the link to the podcast. And of course, immediately I get this reply. I want to jump to the end and watch backward, but okay, I will try your podcast. And I go, oh, we definitely talk about you on the podcast. So if you're wondering if that asshole exists, yes.
Yes.
Their name is. Yes, it was actually a woman. So, and I didn't know that you could call a woman an asshole, but I learned that on episode 5.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. No spoilers today. Okay. As joined for episodes 1 and 2, Rachel Riley, Big Brother royalty.
Hello.
Hey, I don't know if you're aware. You had the first Big Brother baby, and I care about that.
Thank you. Thank you for caring about that, and I appreciate that you acknowledge that, because that's a good fact, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that not everyone can have the first Big Brother baby.
No, I mean, half the cast, I don't think, has had consensual sex.
No, half the cast of Big Brother family has had consensual sex.
Chlamydia is not a flower and gonorrhea is not a country, but that's a different podcast. But let us please introduce the star of episodes 3 and 4, Michael Elizabeth Davidson III. Michael Davidson, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, brother?
Good, good. You kind of stole our hearts. You know this, right?
Well, I'm sure my mama would love to hear that, because she was my mama's actually dead, and I'm sure she was probably like turning over in her grave, like watching those round tables. Like, I mean, it was they were a little much, man. But
I love that you eventually get credit. It's just like I feel like the entire castle gets to the resolve that it's just like, this guy's way too sloppy to be the traitor. And I believe it's Kate's just like, no, that's how savvy he is. Just like, ooh, Kate with the wrong read. So, I mean, that's a compliment in and of itself, right?
Yeah. I'll take it. I'll take that as a compliment. So.
So I got to ask, we're definitely talking episodes 3 and 4. How did you find out about this show? And I mean, because I feel it's no secret why they cast you. I'm casting you on every show coming up.
Hey, listen, brother, if you ever start working for Survivor, you remember me. But that's actually how I got picked. I applied for Survivor. I apply every year. I'm the biggest Survivor fan ever. And like a couple years ago, I dodged a bullet majorly, because it was like Island of the Idols. I was I did fairly well in the casting process, and then I got cut, and then but through that casting process, I'd met different casting like producers and associates and whatever, and so I had begun following them on social media, and then one of them had tagged a photo with someone else and that someone else posted the flyer. And then I applied. And then the next day, Flipping Meg from Big Brother calls me and she's like, "Hey, this is Meg." And like, she's talking. And I'm like, no, go back. "You're who?" And she's like, "Meg." And I'm like, "Big Brother Meg?" And she's like, yeah, 'twas a long time ago, but." And I'm like, no, you can't just lead a conversation to a huge fan with, "I'm Meg. Like, let's talk about the show I'm applying for in a minute. Let's go back to your freaking Meg." And so it just, domino effect, man, it just fell into place. And yeah, that's how it worked out.
So you were just a big fan of Big Brother as you are Survivor, because like on the premiere, you're just like, "Oh my God, you know, it's Ceri and Stephanie and, you know, let me get, you know, I wish I could get selfies for my Instagram," which we'll plug at the end, I promise.
Yeah. I'm a old school fan. So like, I love Cody. Like I watched Big Brother, you know, his season, but now like I lean more so toward like Rachel and Kaser and Janelle. Like I'm old school. I'm Cody's new school.
Yeah, I'm a Chicken George kind of guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's more than old school.
And I do not recognize season one. Is that good? I guess.
Yeah, that,
there you go.
The same Big Brother.
Okay, cool. Josh is rolling over in his grave somewhere, I think. oh, Josh, stop. Okay, so. All right, so episode 3, Murder, They Wrote, and we start off, the vote is either Bam, Michael, or Brandy, and I'm just like, please don't let it be Michael, or else we really don't need him on the podcast today.
Why would it have been me, though? Like, why would it have been even, like, a consideration? Like, I don't know.
For them. Because, like, we later see, like, I really feel that it was obviously between Bam and Brandy. And I'm just like, oh, well, maybe they have to say three names. And then as we learn on the next episode or soon, we learn, nope, two is enough. We don't have three names. So I'm like, okay. So anyway, time for breakfast. And I'm just, as I said, you know, if it, as I said in my notes, if it is Michael, what does he really add to the podcast today? Stealing my own jokes. So Quentin is an analyst, we learn here. He really breaks it down for us, but couldn't analyze Ceri and Cody walking in first, knowing that they're not the traitors. Not look like this past your presentation walking into breakfast is very important. And I feel like some people are slacking in that. Like, I feel like someone like Kate doesn't care. but otherwise, it's like, even if you're not the traitor, act like you're not the traitor.
Yes. So I you know, we never picked up on that, Johnny. I think, like, that was the biggest thing that should have been a tell. Like, Christian, every single time, "Hey guys, what's up? I'm so happy." Like, bro.
Christian, like, never looks to see who it is.
No, never. And so, he's always like high-fiving everyone when he's walking in the room. He's always like, he acts like he knew that he was not going to get murdered.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yep.
Yeah. Come on, guys. Well, be better.
My question with, you know, when they're coming down for breakfast is, especially Rachel, you know, you've done these shows before. Did you ever think, hey, they want that TV moment, so the last few people that are coming in probably aren't the traitors because it doesn't build that suspense?
Okay, so at first, so I thought, that's what I thought, right? But then I was like, but what if, because I second guess myself, this is my problem, I second guess myself, I'm like, but what if they put, like, the last few people are the traitors because they want the traitors to walk in last so that the traitors, you know, like, and I don't know if it was random, but it never, like, looking back watching the episodes, like, I don't know if it was random, like, I don't know if they were just like, because obviously from an episodic, like, storyline, yeah, the last two people coming in has to be the people the traitors were talking about, right? Like, duh.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why I didn't notice that. Like, of course it's the, like, that means your butt's on the line if you're, like, walking into to breakfast last.
Yes. And you get an applause unless you're some people. But we'll,
yeah, exactly.
So, Kate loves breakfast. Michael, you are the worst faithful ever.
I really am. Like, I am.
Yes.
Kate loves breakfast and judging people.
Yes. Shockingly, Michael, you do make it to breakfast, and you promise the viewers that you will make for boring TV for the next episode. Thank you, Michael. That's what we're looking for as viewers. See, the whole reason we liked you the first two episodes is because you did stuff.
Listen, I couldn't. There was no way I was risking it. I couldn't do stuff because I talked too much the second episode. Like, God, way too much. So I wasn't saying a word the third one.
I felt like you were tired.
I had to rest up.
Yes. Yeah. So, but you know who's not tired? Christian. He won't stop talking, and Sari needs to start sitting beside him to kick him to tell him to shut up.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think that she probably had to babysit him the whole time. Because he, yeah, looking back, another tell, right? Why did you notice this, Michael?
It's
he was my only friend. Like, he was like, like, he was the only one that would talk strategy with me, so.
Well, it appears as Rachel's your friend.
Yeah.
Listen, Rachel, like, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. I don't know. I'm going to say it anyway. But Rachel and Sari and Stephanie, I can't go to there because we're only on episodes. I would have been blindly following either of those three. Like, either of those three, I would have blindly followed. And they could have told me to jump off a bridge and I would have done it because I was like obsessed. You know what I mean? And so I would have never done anything that would have turned on either one of those three women. And then like Christian and Andy, I was super close with. They don't show a lot of like personal connections in any of the edits.
Well, welcome to reality television. I don't know if you've seen the last 12 seasons of Survivor, but
But I think also with Michael, like, it's weird because we come in the room. Is this episode 3 or 4 when I come in?
This is episode 3. So this is, it's
the bells?
Yes.
Yes.
The bells. Okay. Yes. So we see in this episode, we see a little bit of the relationship dynamic with Michael and everyone else. Like, because we see obviously that, like, people are starting to talk about how annoying other people are getting on their nerves or whatever. So I think it's like, then we also know, like, we see where I'm like, I think Quentin also sticks up for Michael in episode 3.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So Quentin and I are both like, no, it's just Michael is, that's his, he told us that's how his personality is. And I think that, like, it's hard, like, we don't see a lot of the other reasons why we have personal talks. Didn't you have, like, a big personal talk with Quentin, too, Michael?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Quentin, I think Quentin's likable. I'd like him to
I enjoy him so much. He may not have good reads, but,
he has the worst reads.
He has the worst reads. Well,
but to be fair, everyone does at this point.
But he sounds like Dave Chappelle saying it, so I think that makes up for his bad reads. Yeah. If you close your eyes, it's Dave Chappelle.
Quentin was that he was, like, consistently, like, you could never get too deep. Like, he was not like an onion where you could, like, peel layers off. Like, he always had, like, that pomegranate shell where, like, you knew that there was something underneath, but, like, you couldn't just get to it, you know? Like, he was not, like, one of those guys that I could, like, peel back. Like, Michael, we could, like, peel back the layers easily. But, like, you know, some people, you just, like, can never get the layers peeled back.
Oh, pomegranate is delicious. Look at
right, pomegranate is.
Wow.
Very deep. Talking about that. Yeah.
So the murder person, it's Bam, and Bam has thrown everyone off the traitor's trail until Christian talks too much about it at breakfast, explaining exactly why that would throw people off the trail.
He's hiding in plain sight, Johnny.
He is gabling it. He is definitely hiding in plain sight. And I did like that prior to Bam walking in, Kate predicts Bam. And everyone's like, ooh, you predicted Bam. And it's just like, yeah, because Kate doesn't want her friend to go.
But Bam was not her friend. Oh, Brandy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah,
but you know, it's so weird that Kate said that, and that when I would tell people, Kate predicted Bam, nobody would listen to me. But I was like, if you were playing in this game, okay, from like, you know, a not player perspective, wouldn't you have thought like, that is a good sign. That is a tell, right? Like, and Kate wasn't a traitor, so it was like a bad read on my part. But like the fact that she would say stuff like that, and then Bam doesn't show up, you're like,
yeah. Well,
that's kind of suspicious, right?
Yeah, my read was she was willing it into existence so her friend would show up.
Oh, maybe that's what other people thought. And I thought, like, she just knows too much.
I'm thinking other people didn't care. Michael, where? I think a lot of people are just like, ooh, breakfast. And I'm just like, oh, my God. Like, you guys understand breakfast is part of the game, right? Did Alan not tell you that? Breakfast is part of the game.
Sometimes I don't
think I never ate breakfast. In the game. I never ate the breakfast because I was afraid it would hurt my stomach and I would have diarrhea at the mission. And so I never ate the breakfast. I only drank like juice and water and ate like a few grapes because I was like, I cannot be running and then like have to poop. Like I can't do this. And so I never ate the breakfast.
Sweetie.
I love this.
God bless you. All right. Alan comes in. He's got a green beret, green loafers. Michael is mesmerized. Did Alan mesmerize you, Michael?
A little.
We love Alan.
There was no room for breakfast because so all those butterflies in your stomach.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you've noticed, kind of hard to run with the hard on, just throwing that out there. Okay. Michael, I don't know if you're aware, but you are Kate and Brandy's target, and we have Rachel defending you. And I'm like, oh, goodness.
Yeah. I loved that. Thank you, Rachel. Thank
you're
you.
You're welcome. I had to go in there with those two, you know, girls and set them straight.
Yeah. And they were apparently toxic because Azra and Angelica, who doesn't know how to spell her name, they can't take it. And at this moment, I'm just like, you're right. Azra is hot.
Yeah, that sounds right, Johnny.
She was very beautiful.
Is that not what you guys have in your notes?
Well, I had that, and I had, oh, she's dying today.
Oh, yeah.
It was at this point that I just learned what her name was.
Yes.
Literally, right? And I don't think she even had a line up to that point.
Yeah.
No.
She might not have even been featured on the show.
Well, her lower third's a yoga instructor, and oh, that even
It tracks.
Yeah, it does track. It tracks in the visions I have. All right. So Kate is intimidating Christian and I'm all in. I enjoy Kate intimidating Christian. I don't like when she comes after my friends. We'll get there. But I definitely enjoy her intimidating Christian. So, Michael, not so much you. Christian, all day, please. Yeah. So, I had a question for you guys. Is it cold where you guys are filming? Because it seems a little chilly based on outfits.
In Scotland?
Yeah.
We talked about this yesterday. It's freezing.
Freezing. Okay.
Freezing. Like literally, we could not get enough blankets and fireplaces going. It's freezing. Were you freezing, Michael? I was freezing the whole time.
I'm a little overweight, so I got some extra like layers on me naturally. And so I wasn't as cold, but now like on the days that we had to go outside, it was a little bit. Yeah, a little bit, but now.
That seems like every day, Michael. I don't know. I don't know what missions you're doing, but
we went outside every day, right? I think so. Yeah.
Just on the days you went outside, yeah. April, just those days. You know, every day.
But the castle's really cold too. Inside the castle's really cold.
Yeah, you know what that AC bill would be if it wasn't.
Well, that's true.
You know, it's because they had to put new floors in.
Yes, right.
The walls are not the same.
Right.
They are not. They are
no.
Not.
Reza.
Where's Reza?
Where's Reza?
Yes. So this mission is you get 25 grand for making sweet, sweet music. There's two groups, 7 makers, 10 ears, 5 minutes each round, and you have to find the music box that matches the bells and then find that item in the house. Fergus is watching, so you know this is real. And
did you make a Fergus shirt yet?
I have not made the Fergus shirt yet. Okay. I don't know which, but Fergus is watching. Is that a good shirt?
I mean, maybe. Or like Tell me what to do, Fergus, or like, where's Fergus? Maybe that would be a good one. Where's Fergus?
Where's Fergus? Okay, we'll get there. All right. So Shelby plays the flute and piccolo. And I don't know if you guys know this. This one time at band camp.
We did. That was almost too easy of a joke, and nobody picked up on it. I know.
Yes.
That's where she found her husband.
That's right. She did find her
former husband. I don't know.
Yeah. Yes.
So, but Rachel, we understand that you're really good at music.
Apparently, I'm really good at music.
I feel that Rachel explains to us that she's really good at a lot of things.
I do.
And that is Rachel's go-to. Oh
my godfather was like, you need to take your ego down like 10 paces. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, your ego is out of control.
I love it. I think you're fine.
That's needed.
Yeah. It's very needed for reality TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I haven't watched Below Deck, but I feel that Kate is one of the larger personalities and she's not used to other larger personalities.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
And I think that Brandy is medicated properly to adjust to whatever Kate's on.
Grey Goose, they found like bottles of Grey Goose all over the castle. I don't know where they were, but yes.
So, I love you guys playing the bells, and Alan is like, that is a very interesting interpretation.
I just love his comments throughout it all. He's like, oh, this is my favorite one.
Yeah. I know.
And then you get to rock a bye baby's like, I have no clue what they are playing.
Yes. Ryan Lochte is contributing, allegedly.
Yeah, he loves the thing.
Yeah.
Yes, he informs us that. I think he was informing himself. That's a recurring theme. I believe the first one is the owl, and that owl has been staring at Ceri since day one. That is so funny that certain people have certain objects that have bothered them in the castle, and then the owl being the one that's frightened at Ceri to no end.
I mean, it tracks. If we go all the way back to her first season, she was scared of leaves.
Yeah.
Anything outdoors.
Yeah.
Owls.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yes. Kate says this has turned from fun and a mission to creepy and chaotic. Especially with the multiple music boxes going at once. Ballet slippers are the next one, and Brandy says run, Kate, and Kate says no, you run. Kate doing her best Wednesday Addams impression here, and I'm for it. It's just like, no, but if you run and show it, yeah, I understand how this works. That's you, not me. So, Rachel, you have now taken over the music, and as a result, Cody cannot wait to murder you.
I know. It's like he's so mad because he gets so mad when I'm good at competitions. I'm telling you, it's like it happened on Fear Factor too. He was so mad when I would be good at beating him.
Well, you're good at a lot of things, as we learned through your confessionals.
Yes.
Michael, you pick up the hat box. It means by nothing accident to you, but you pick it up.
It's like, I have no clue what song this is.
I didn't know a one of them. I didn't know a one of those. Like, I was just running along and pretending like I knew what I was doing. I was like, oh, yeah, I know that one. I didn't have the first clue. Thank God it was a group effort, brother, because I did not know a single one. And, like, I was just randomly picking up boxes. And it just so happened I picked up the right box. I didn't know a one, though.
Well, the next one was my favorite. It is everyone's favorite Christmas song, "Ode to Joy" from Die Hard, and so that's good. So we're at 20K, and Suri explains that 20K is waiting for Mama to take it home. I'm like, I am for that. So, no ill will towards either one of you at this point. I'm just saying, I you know. Looking out for my friends as well. I'm allowed to root for multiple people. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So this challenge, I have to say, the standouts are Suri, Brandy, and Kate, and then of course our orchestra instructor Rachel.
Okay, I was like, when my standout? I was the standout. What are you talking about?
Yeah. you were the orchestral instructor.
Yeah, yeah. She had to do two.
Yeah.
She did Kyle's for him. Or Summerhouse. I'm sorry. Summerhouse.
Yes, Summerhouse. You know what? I'm liking Summerhouse a little more.
I do like him.
Yeah, he's fun.
Yeah. So so you guys bank 25K. Bye, Fergus. And at this point, Rachel doesn't want to toot her own horn, but doing her best Arn Anderson of the Four Horsemen impression, toot, toot. Never thought I would compare Arn Anderson, the enforcer, to Rachel Riley, but right. Here we are.
I don't know that reference, so yeah. I'm not sure. Is it a good reference?
So there was a wrestling group called the Four Horsemen led by Ric Flair. And Ric Flair is great, and he had these other guys. Arn Anderson was the enforcer, and Arn Anderson did a promo and goes, "Now, I didn't come out here to toot my own horn, but toot, toot." And I was like, look at you, Arn, toot, toot. I think he has a t-shirt, too. We'll get there, Rachel. Don't worry. Yeah. There's your Rachel shirt. Rachel, toot, toot.
Toot, toot.
That's a good one. All right. Let's see. You single-handedly won the challenge. Thank you.
I could have done that by myself. I did like that line. I thought that was a good line.
I did too. I agree. So Brandy and Kate want Michael out. I don't like this. Brandy is gung-ho for Michael. And that's what she's accusing Michael of Geraldine with. You know, Geraldine with a J. We all remember.
Yes. Yep.
All right. So we are now up to a $75,000 prize pot. Quentin leads... So we are mixing it up. And he says Bam was basically a burn vote. Everyone pay attention. And Kate has thrown mud at the wall all day and basically doing what Michael did the day before. And Michael, you're not crying tonight. I'm very happy.
Yeah.
Just like a traitor would do. Not cry.
Yeah, a traitor would not cry, Michael.
Yeah, I didn't understand that, like, when they were trying to pin you as being a traitor because you were emotional. Like, I thought, I couldn't understand where their reasoning for that came from.
Yeah. I think you just went a little too all in on the Kate direction the day before. Like when people are gasping for air coming out of a coffin, you're like, yeah, Kate, right? And they're like, and you're like, are you saying Kate back to me? Or are you trying to catch your breath? Because I can wait 4 seconds.
I am saying whatever it needs for you to not throw me back in there.
Listen, this is 3 and 4. We don't go back to cringe. We just move on from it and pretend it never happened, okay? We just move on and look forward and pretend it never happened. So.
Okay.
Michael, right. We always go back to cringe.
When it's not when it's our cringe, Rachel. Not when it's our cringe.
Michael, it brings the best moments. You'd rather be remembered for cringe and not remembered at all.
Yeah, you could be Azra or whatever her name is. or the hairdresser that doesn't know how to spell her own name. I mean, there is that. All right, Brandy swears on her children that she's not the traitor. I'm like, ooh, yikes. Yeah, so Brandy's the vote.
Yeah. It's another tight vote, though. It's another tight vote. I do love Quinn throughout these two episodes. His phrase that he loves to use now is like, oh, you keep throwing mud at the wall.
Throw mud at the wall.
See right through it.
Yep. So, and I love the fact that Michael can remain for the second half of the podcast because
I thought I was watching it back and I was like, oh my God, I'm going home. And I knew the results. I really thought I was going home. I was like, oh God.
I believe you.
The book was so close. So.
Yeah, I believe you believe you were going home. That's not come as a shock to me. Once again, I do not believe you're the traitor. So Brandy explains that she's mother effing faithful, and is Kate. And that the chaos all came from Michael. And then as she's leaving, she screams, "Idiots." And I laugh.
I thought that was Kate that said it.
I think it was Brandy.
It was Brandy.
Okay. Yeah.
There you go. Like down the hallway, she's like probably ripping off her microphone.
Yeah.
And then she's like, okay, I can go now, right?
Right.
Yeah. We're good.
And do I get paid the same as the winner is really what I really need to know right now.
Do I get my alcohol back?
Yes, and can I please have my Grey Goose from my room? And I may have left a bottle in Kate's room. I need to get that as well. Kate is no longer my friend. I'm not in the house.
But Brandy's exit is exactly why you have her on the show. Like that's what you want people to do. They say they're faithful. They call people out. They exit. Call you all idiots.
So, which so far she's correct. Kate is loyal to no one. Amanda is pissed, and Kate drops a note as it falls out of her skirt. I don't know exactly what pocket she was holding it in, but she drops a note leaving the round table. Stephanie finds it, tells Sari. That's how the episode ends. Holy moly. Whew.
Holy moly.
Steph was treating it like it was an idol. She's like, oh, before anyone else finds it.
Yes, and it's so mine. True. She did grab. And I was like, how did she notice that? It was on the chair. But it was like an idol for her. Like she literally pulled a Survivor moment in that minute. And she did that on Snake in the Grass too. Whenever there would be a clue, she would like, and then like, you would not even know what's going on. And Stephanie has like the clue already hidden. So, I mean, that's like her MO, right?
I thought it was a perfect representation because, yes, you know, Stephanie grabs it like it's an idol. And just as if it's Survivor, if you're going to tell one person on the cast, of course it's going to be Sari.
Yep.
Yep.
Was anyone caught smelling the letter? All right. See, no, again, why I was not.
Doesn't matter what time of day, the same jokes apply.
another reminder why I wasn't cast on this one.
Rachel, I'll start keeping a tally over here for you of how many we get to.
We're at three. I feel like I prefer sexually active dad, but about that during this commercial break. Support for Reality After Show is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Their products are precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped's Performance Package, the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. That's right, 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. If my math's correct, that's about 12 million balls.
The Performance Package 4.0 has arrived, and oh man, is it a game changer. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies.
First off, the Lawnmower 4.0, this trimmer is the future of grooming, and dare I say, the greatest ball trimmer ever!
Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to help reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 is waterproof and has a 4000K LED spotlight that you need for a more precise shave.
Now, I have a dark shower curtain in my bathroom, and I've been looking for the perfect way to shave in the dark, kinda. Guess what? I found it! 4000K LED! No longer a problem. I got perfectly smooth, clean balls thanks to the Lawnmower 4.0.
It's time to take care of yourself, so go to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code SURVIVOR. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Thanks for sticking with us through the ad break. And don't forget, for more exclusive Reality After Show coverage, visit realitypatron.com. That's reality, P-A-T-R-O-N.com.
All right, and we are back. Michael Davidson,
yes.
Live to fight another day. Rachel Riley, you're still here. Alex Dan, I'm Johnny Fairplay. We're still here. Episode 4. Whew. It is called A Life or Death Situation. Oh, could this be death for Michael? Spoiler, it is. Okay. we begin with the turret in the castle, perhaps. Maybe not turret, but that's the word we're going with currently. And Christian.
Someone needs to Google that. This is like live. Do you see their quotes?
What?
To Google that. Is it called the turret? I need to know.
Okay. Yeah. Someone in the chat, look and see if
someone
it's
in the chat, look
turret up. Is with a round thing in the.
Yeah.
It's turret.
Turret. Okay.
Okay. All right. We hear it once. It's not referenced again. And so in the turret, Christian refers to everyone as the Dream Team, and he is the only one to refer to them as the Dream Team, because I feel that Suri has a layer of disgust that washes over her when he says it. He's like, well, minus you, perhaps.
Yeah, it's beginning of the episode, end of the episode. He just constantly is just like trying to reaffirm, like, Dream Team, Dream Team. And
yes.
It's like, oh, shit. Damn it. It's not Dream Team anymore.
It's like on Big Brother when someone tries to make an alliance name happen and like you're just like not gonna happen.
Yeah, no.
He wanted that hashtag. He wanted people to be like, hashtag Dream Team. It's like, yeah. No, Christian.
No.
You can't make that happen.
Let's start a hashtag No Christian.
Okay, everyone, you heard it.
I love it.
I will tweet that out. Hashtag no Christian.
Well, you watch out. That might work against you. So it's like my buddy Colt Cabana. He did a promo and he was just like he's like this is an animal benefit and you know, for all the I love horses, you know, let's do hashtag horse love. Not do hashtag horse love.
What could go wrong?
What can go wrong? Yes. Okay, so Azra is being called out for being reserved, and Kyle is the one calling her out. So there's beef there, and so but we also have the letter that was left, and so it can either be Shelby or Amanda to frame Kate. And at this point, we see that Alan Cumming is done personally dropping off the dead letter.
Yep.
That lasted all of 2 episodes.
He's like, I'm done.
I know. I think, like, my question, why did Brandy and Kate even write down something on a letter? Like, are they that dumb? Like, why would you put anyone's name in writing?
People like to write stuff now. Like on the challenge, Devin had a scribbled sheet of how to protect Horacio or
Chauncey.
How to protect Chauncey. He's just like, look, I wrote down protect Chauncey. And they're like, ooh, he wrote down protect Chauncey. He has a whole list. I don't know. I'm never writing down anything.
No, never, never. If you're watching the podcast, you go on these shows, never write down anything, period. Yeah.
And don't tell your advantages.
Get you in trouble. It doesn't matter good or bad. Like, and then it's like they bring in Shelby, they bring in Amanda, and they're just like mad because their names are on the paper, right? So like Shelby and Amanda are going to be mad at Kate and Brandy, even if they're not traitors, right? Like, it's just like, why would you do that?
Yeah. So, Andy is tapped at this point, and Andy explains that they are an introvert, and I'm like, maybe this is not the game for you.
She says she was made for the game, though.
I feel yeah. like they thought it would be a different game than what Traitors actually was. That's the only thing I could think of. Because Andy, coming in, they said they were, like, really a gamer, and I'm going to play this, and I don't care about the I'm here to play the game. And then they change progressively as the season and the episodes get on to where Andy is, you know,
I think, care about people.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Andy talks a lot about like not having the personal emotions, how it's hard for them to separate personal from game. Yeah.
Well, I think you can also be good at the game, but not be good TV.
Well, yes. That's true. Yeah, that's true.
And then a question for both of you, because we hear comments about Andy during the episode. Like, Suri has this saying where she says, like, Andy has sway. She has sway over people based off, like, her judgments, her opinions. But, like, we, as the viewers, we don't really get to see those interactions. So yeah. Maybe, like, from people that were in the room, like, how were those, is there truth to that? Like, was she really helping spearhead directions just based off, like, her opinions?
Are you talking about three spearheading?
Andy.
Andy.
Oh, okay. Well, so Andy, so they had sway over a lot of people's opinions because Andy was so calm and collected. And so Andy always felt like Andy was someone you could talk to. And if I talked to Andy, Andy gave me an opinion, I wanted to believe it. I wanted to do whatever Andy said. So I do feel like, and I think, what about you, Michael? I felt like Andy had that power over people where Andy could, Andy made you feel comfortable.
Yes. I will say that Andy could have told me anything about them and I would have believed what they were saying.
Yeah.
Now, as far as the swaying, now, if they were to came to me and been like, you know, this person, I'm like, no, I will believe you and I will sucker into the palm of your hand because you are just that calming presence for me, but you ain't convincing about all these other people. So it's really kind of, you know, like, okay. But now I love them. Like, such a calming presence. Like, y'all didn't see the train ride in episode one. Right. But, like, me and Rachel and Sari and Andy were on the train together. And I was the first person on the train, and Andy was the second person on the train. So we, like, formed a really tight bond. And they were just, they made you feel so comfortable. Like, whenever I was, like, having panic attacks, they were right there. And it's just like, okay, sit next to me till I calm down. So I would have never turned on them, would have never, you know, thought they were lying to me. But now, as far as could they sway me into, you know, believing one thing or the other about the other, no, they can probably work that way for about themselves, but not anybody else.
Gotcha.
So. Yeah.
I think Andy would have and could potentially make, you know, if someone later becomes a traitor, I think Andy would have been a really good option for traitor.
Yeah.
I don't think that Andy would have ever become a traitor. Andy doesn't have, like, no. As much of, like, I think...
Well, no, if Andy is appointed a traitor at the beginning.
I don't think that... I think they said they didn't want to do it. I don't think that... Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that they ever said they wanted to do it. I don't think Andy wanted to be a traitor.
But yeah, I think Andy would have been a good traitor. It doesn't matter.
Well, for that reason, right. Because it's so obvious that they didn't want to do it. But then again, it's like the Cody situation, like, is it going to eat you alive the whole time, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Christian is a great traitor in that he's so sloppy. You want him to be discovered.
Right.
Like, and if he's not, I hate this show.
Yeah.
Okay. So, whereas Andy, I would root for Andy not to be caught.
Right. Exactly. Like, yeah, like 100%. I think Andy would make a good traitor, but I don't know if they would want to do it.
Yeah, I think if they were offered, they would decline.
There are certain people in the game that just did not want to be traitors. They were just, like, not into it, not happening. Like, Ryan Lochte and Michael.
Yeah. Yeah, Michael, you were perfectly cast as not a traitor. In case you're wondering.
Don't tell Kate that.
Yeah, don't tell Kate, whatever you do.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
At this point, Michael, you realize that you're a good shield. It sucks when you realize that. That's usually too late. Kate comes in last. And no applause this time. And she's like, yeah, I don't care. I'm sure I'm just being saved for tomorrow, whatever. Where is the Grey Goose? So I don't know. I think we're on day five, and I believe that Kate has gone from mimosas to screwdrivers at this point to start her day. Absolutely. So, but she does use her glasses to look at her reflection, which I think is nice. So Shelby is last. It's Azra, and we're like, wow, that was the hot girl's name. Sweet. And the blood is on Kyle's hands, and there is nothing anyone can do about it, and everyone is so upset, including the hairdresser, who doesn't know how to spell her name. She is crying. And at this point, Alan Cumming comes in, who looks a little more and more like Pee-wee Herman every episode.
A little bit. A little bit.
Oh, no, I didn't pick up on that at all.
You don't see the Pee-wee. Go back and watch.
There's some similarities in that face.
Yes, there is. So, so Alan comes in and says, we have mourned long enough. It has been literally seconds. And at this point, we learn breakfast is a lot for a trainer, according to Cody. And Cerise says Michael is not a trainer, and because he's not that savvy. And Kate says, no, he's actually a sociopath. So, Michael, clear this up. Were you a sociopath?
And yes. yes, actually, yes, that's true.
Sweet. We will be reading about if you liked Michael here on streaming Peacock on the Traitors, you're gonna love his episode on Dateline coming up. Don't worry, it's not a Keith Morrison, it's a skippable one. You got Andrea Canning, it's not gonna be good.
Well, Rachel, I had a question for you. So we see as it's going on that Cody's really starting to crack. And you said from the beginning, I know he's a traitor. Could you see him starting to crack and it really starting to wear on him as it's that obvious on screen?
100%. I felt like it was like you could see every day the things that would start to wear on him. And especially when anything had to do about people that he cared about, like, you could definitely, like when Angelica was so upset, like it started, I think that's when he starts to feel like, oh gosh, like this is real, you know? So I noticed it, but like nobody would ever listen to me.
So does that erase your suspicion that much more of Ceri, in that you see Cody breaking and you're like, okay, whoever is a traitor, this is emotionally affecting these people. So obviously it's not Ceri, because she's the same person she was day one, if not more calm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because you can't let them see you sweat. Right. The true mob boss that she is.
And she says that too, right? In this episode. Doesn't she say that in this episode? Like,
yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's the truth. And like, man, Ceri is good. Yeah. You know?
Who are you thinking at this point, Michael, are the traitors?
I actually knew Cody was a traitor, and I thought the other ones were Amanda and Quentin. So,
anyone else? I think even if we would have thought Ceri was a traitor, we didn't care. Again, like we talked about that yesterday, you just don't care. If Ceri's a traitor, you're like, oh, but it's Ceri. That's okay. Yeah, like let her be a traitor, you know, whatever. She can betray me.
So, how did you know that Cody was a traitor at this point, Michael?
Because on day one, it was myself, Angelica, Amanda, Christian, and I think that was maybe it, and Geraldine. We were in the billiard room, and we were talking, and Geraldine was talking about how Cody had approached her, and he's all like, you know, hey, we're really tight. I'm forming a good connection with you. So I told her, I was like, I would be very cautious of that because he probably thinks you're stupid, because I've watched Cody play Big Brother twice, and he's all about the bros, and he pulls in one stupid girl. So if he's approaching you, you're the stupid girl. So be very careful about that. And
wow. This is coming from the Russell Hantz school of playing the same game over and over and over.
Except Cody got a win, at least.
We ain't talking about my cringe. Like, so we was talking about it. And then Christian says, so what's your relationship with Cody? And I say, I don't know. I guess I'm not bro enough. Cody won't really speak to me. I don't know. I've tried to talk to him, and he's not the least bit interested in talking to me. And so we left that room and went straight into sequester for the murder. The very next morning, Cody sits down next to me at breakfast, and he says, hey, I know we've not really talked. You know, I don't want you to think that we're not bro. And I'm like, which one of you all told him? Because you guys have not had time to do this. And I was confident that it was Amanda. Confident that it was Amanda, because Amanda is the one who told me that Stephanie and Geraldine, you know, whatever. And the edit didn't really show that the way it did. I mean, there was a huge ordeal. Everyone like, who told you? Why won't you tell me? And I'm like, because I'm not telling you, because I knew if I said Amanda told me, Amanda would murder me, you know? So, but yeah, that was.
But it was Christian that told Cody.
It was Christian now, but at the time I thought it was Amanda. So.
Wow. That's all. Way to go. Look at you.
I mean, it would make sense why Amanda couldn't sniff out those traitors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If she was one.
Letting people die on the operating table in the ER.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's blunt force trauma. No, someone cut off their toe. What are you talking about?
No,
blunt force trauma. I'm positive. Okay. Yes. So Sari and Stephanie are showing Kate's notes to everyone. And Kyle explains to us at home, the viewers, Summer House, for those of you scoring at home, that this is a clue. This is in fact a clue, because it has words on paper. It was left at the scene. The clue. He does not know what it means in any way, but it is a clue.
I was going to say, this circles back to Alex's theory yesterday of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, it's very much Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Dooby-douchebag.
So is he Fred?
No, he's Scooby-Dooby-douchebag.
Okay.
He says he's not just a douchebag. He's Scooby-Dooby-douchebag.
Yeah, in a summer house.
In the summer, spring.
Well, cottage. I guess it's winter. It's
spring,
cold.
Spring cottage. It never gets warm in Scotland. It's the whole thing. All right. So, Michael, at this point, you seem a little drained going to the mission. And I think all that crying and worrying will do that to you. And not eating breakfast, which is the most important meal of the day.
Yeah.
So. Listen, I'm glad I didn't eat breakfast for that fourth episode challenge. I would have died. Like, it would have came out and it would have dripped down on whoever was below me. I mean, it would have been bad had I ate breakfast that morning.
Nelson would have loved this. Wasn't Nelson breaking the farts on the challenge?
Yes. Yeah, I was also going to say, wasn't Kate like the person underneath you? So I think, you know, that was very entertaining.
We were on different, I think, I don't know, it may have been Cody underneath me. I don't know. But me and Kate was on different wheels. She was on the first one, I was on the second one.
Okay.
Which is what made the challenge so boring, because Kate was the guinea pig for all the questions, and I was too my second round. So,
yeah, I would have scripted the random. I would have used the challenges perfectly random or randomly perfect algorithm to find the best pairings to put you and Kate on the wheel together.
Yeah. Well, at least one of these two people took it in good stride.
Yeah.
Oh well, Kate's not here to defend herself, but it was not Kate.
No, Kate did not like being called a liar, because she has not told one lie ever.
She has not. So,
except about Sherlock Holmes being her great grandpa.
That's true. Well, it's not
she didn't tell you guys that.
Yeah. So she only lies to production.
Yeah.
So yes, this mission is the Creepy Carnival of Chaos, and it's not fair. Get it? Okay, so five players ride the wheel of death or destiny. Sorry, and Kate is the first pick, isn't she though? And it's here where we learn that Andy almost fell out of a roller coaster as a kid, and this is nightmare fuel. And I'm like,
relatable.
Perfect person to be on the wheel. Kate is the biggest liar, and everyone likes Andy, and they trust Amanda because Amanda will let you die in the ER, but no one knows. Especially Michael at this point. Cody is too close to Ryan Lochte, according to Sari. That will come up into fruition.
And that's why I was glad Michael brought up what he did about like Cody potentially trying to create a bro thing again. Because I think if you're Sari, that's actually a legitimate concern to have. Even though you're working as a group, you know, split the money three ways. As traders, or split the money two ways, or just yourself.
Or just
like if you have people around you that are going to trust you and you direct them towards the other traders, but it's not you saying it.
Yeah.
It's like they can get screwed over. So I think it was good on Cerise's part, especially at the end of the episode. I don't know what happens on episode 5. but that she puts her foot down. Like, oh, if you don't care this much, put his name down.
Yeah.
Well, like, why are you stressing?
You have to figure if you're Ceri that Christian will hang himself.
Oh,
there's no
yes.
way.
Yeah, yes. I think she probably did have to assume that from the very beginning, because there's no way with all the sloppiness and Christian mouth that, like, he's not going to be discovered, which is good for her, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it is indeed the dream team for Ceri.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's the dream team
for
her.
I told Ceri out there. I called her. I told her she was a cerebral assassin. You know, I can play on words.
Oh.
And
oh, wow.
Really,
look at him.
Disappointed.
Hey, Michael.
I'm so disappointed that didn't make air. I'm like, God, I called her that like every day. So, yeah.
Well, it makes sense. And I'm going to pull like a big saying in Big Brother, but I'm going to twist it a little bit. You know, like Ceri's playing chess.
Yeah.
You got Cody playing checkers here. And you have Christian playing with the box, thinking he's playing the actual game.
I thought he was playing with himself.
Well, also that.
Yes. Let's see. Most two-faced. That's you, Michael. You're also everything else bad, but don't worry. You have a wedgie. Yeah, you are Ray Comet. But your ability to absorb these hateful things and keep all your parts aligned and not throw up. You took the total of the day of 19,900 out of the 22,000 available. And way to go.
Yeah, very good job.
Yes. Team player.
Yes.
Team player. And you get nothing for it.
That was a team player move, Michael. That was very, very epic of you.
So it was so team player-y of you that Rachel asked you in the sweet, sweet ride, are you a traitor? And you say, no.
Yeah.
I felt like you did at this point, Rachel. I feel like you don't believe he's a traitor, but you needed to hear him say it to your face and look you in the eye.
100%. Like, I had this thing the whole game that I had to look people in the eyes and ask them if they were traitors, because I thought it would be such a tell. And it did kind of work for me, because I felt like I figured out that Cody was one. And then, like, I thought, like, along the way, I could figure out who else was. But yeah, I needed Michael at that point to tell me, because I was like, okay, if he's really not a traitor, he'll look me in the eye and tell me he's not a traitor. And then I can, like, go into this and start sticking up for him to try to get Kate out. Because I think at that time I wanted Kate out, right?
So. Yeah. You're working your way there. You write down Michael, don't worry.
and so, Michael, we do see you have a conversation with, I think one of them is Kyle, where you're like, if it's going to be me tonight, like, can you just let me know so I can enjoy my day? What do you think caused him to more so lean towards you over Kate? Because he knew those were going to be the two options.
Because him and Kate are Bravo stars. I never had Kyle's vote. I never had Kyle's vote, never had Kate's vote, never had Shelby, never had Angelica. My only hope was the other people. So, and I knew that it was getting to the point where it's like, I can't even focus on winning this game because other people won't stop focusing on you. And like, I did not think that Geraldine was a traitor. I know I said that, but I didn't. I didn't think that Brandy was a traitor, but they were coming for me. So I had to get rid of them, because I can't play a game comfortably if people are gunning for me. And me and Rachel and Ceri and Andy actually had this conversation in one of the cars, like, first day. You know, if people are coming for me, let's just get rid of them, and then we'll worry about the traitors later. And so it was kind of like that for me. And it's like, I can't even play the game. And it got to the point where everybody else couldn't either, because they couldn't even convince enough people that I was decent enough to leave alone for a second.
You're messing up the vote for anything else. Yeah, you're messing up the vote for anything else that could happen.
But you could always, the way I'm
I said you're messing up the vote for anyone else that could possibly be targeted.
Just exactly.
You're getting even though you're not going home, you're getting enough votes that they can't get enough other votes to get who needs to go.
But like, you can make the same argument for Kate. It's like what I'm saying. It's like, because like Kyle says in the vote, like, if I were not to vote you, that'd be just doing the same thing twice. I'm like, I'm pretty sure you voted him every single round. So that's like three, like four times in a row. So like, that's on you for not trying to change up what you want to do. It's like, Kate's been the topic of discussion multiple times. It would make sense. And like, I'm just like thinking throughout the episode, like, well, if he's the traitor, like, wouldn't you think at this point the other traitors would want to betray him just to get that away? Because more, if he's there and they're seeing you as volatile or like emotional or like just constantly a target, don't they think eventually the stink will be put on to the other two traitors if you continue
you
to survive?
You would think, but listen, nobody was like, when I say nobody, like very few people were there to play. Like I actually saw Rachel do a podcast not too long ago, and she was talking about like Big Brother players these days. Nobody goes against the group. They just go with the flow because it's the cool thing. Don't, I'm an old school fan, brother. Whenever I went out there, I wasn't going with no flow. I went out there to like win money, and I was going to stick up for myself, and I was going to go with what I felt in my gut. But nobody done that. They did not want to play. And like one thing that didn't make air is I actually yelled at Shelby during this roundtable, and I'm probably going to get like rebuked for talking about so many things that don't get into the edit. You reality TV like veterans have to let me know. But I yelled at her, like, Shelby, what the heck is wrong with you? Why do you keep voting for me? Like, literally, you've said a million times you don't have a relationship with anybody. Like, I am your shield right now. When I'm gone, what's going to happen to you? You know, and it was so frustrating because nobody came to play. They came to coast along and finish a forgettable eighth place. And it was just so frustrating. But yeah, I mean, it is.
Yeah,
it
was really hard to play a lot of the time when people just didn't want to listen to you and they wanted to just go along with like what everybody else is doing. Cause that did happen so much. It happened so much like with, okay, like Azra and with Ryan Lochte and like, you know, who else? I mean, I felt like a lot of the times I felt like Angelica voted with the group. Like, you know, I felt like a lot of the times it was just people were like, really like, okay, let's just, this is what's going to happen. Like we should do this. And I don't know. It's weird because you don't see that in the UK version of the show. Alex, did you watch the UK version?
I did watch the UK, but also the UK players played it in a very different way where their game was a lot more like emotionally based. Like all their decisions were based off just like how they were feeling about that certain person. And then just trying to say like, well, no, this is strategy, even though it was just like, no, I don't like this person.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take them out.
Right.
But like people had their own votes. Like there was people throwing stray votes everywhere around the round table just because like, I don't care what the main vote is. I think it's this person, so I'm going to vote this person. But like, and Michael, like if you say you were a traitor and like you have this perspective of like people are being followers and then you have people that are being leaders, like are you taking out the people that are just voiceless essentially and willingly voiceless, or are you taking out the people that are talking?
This show would have been so boring if I was a traitor because Reza, Brandy, Kate, every one of those coming for me would have been murdered, and I would have like fist fought the other two traitors had they not been on board with it, because I was not about to sit there and let these people come for me. If I was a traitor, it would have been obvious because the people like loudest coming for me would have been gone. I would not have sat there and allowed them another day to keep that chaos. No, no.
So you would have been the only letter that Alan put underneath the door when he stopped doing that afterwards. PA, please do this. Please, I'm not doing this ever again. So, yes. All right, so it is, let's see. Oh, at this point, Alan says two will exit stage right tonight. I was like, oh my God, two people are getting voted out. No, he just means someone getting murdered later. Yeah. I'm like, I am an idiot. So at this point, Kyle mentions that he's just, Summerhouse thinks, much like I do, and this is where he kind of wins me over, thinking production-wise, he goes, hey, production-wise, they're going to have at least one female be a traitor, and it's probably going to be a celebrity. And I'm just like, did you listen to the podcast last night?
I think he did. I think he did. Went back in time. He was like, well, I'm looking at the board. The non-reality women are very quiet and very unassuming. They're not going to be it.
Yeah.
He probably knows it's Christian at this point. He's like, Suri looks like a good option.
Yes. So, and Ryan explains that he just learned the rules of the game and he would just want to get one traitor out.
He also was very focused on the Chinese food.
Yes.
Everyone was trying to talk strategy with me. He's like, oh, look, Chinese food.
Chinese food. And I learned the object of the game, guys. You vote out one traitor. That's it. And then we go.
I have not found the secret door yet.
The traitor is hiding behind the secret door. We have not met the traitor. He is not playing the game with us. He is behind the secret door.
Well, in that same interaction, you have, you know, Stephanie's continued showing that she's not really good at reality TV when it comes to reading people. Be like, I promise it's not Suri.
Yes.
I know. I was so upset when she said that because I don't know.
I mean, you kind of want to hope that your friend, I mean, because Suri and Stephanie are friends.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And so, that's, you're right.
So you want to hope your friend isn't just lying to you.
Right, exactly. That was the hardest thing, too, because you're like, okay. And not only are they friends, but we had all just played Snake in the Grass, yeah. Right? It's just like, literally, you're like, okay, you know, we made this pact. Like, are we good? Like, you're not a traitor. You're not you're not going to lie to us. Like, yeah, we're all good. So you just kind of go off of that. And I don't know what episode Stephanie says it, but she's like, Rachel, Suri and I have had a alliance since the very beginning.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, like we did, because we just like blindly just are okay with this alliance. You know what I mean? Like, I'll have your back. You have my back. Like, if someone talks about you, I'll shut it down.
Yeah. And we don't even need to discuss this. And I don't have to look you in the face and ask you, because I mean, I just have to ask that to Michael, who I really trust.
Right.
and it's almost like because like you said, like you're aware that Cody's a traitor at this point. But it's like if you're amongst your three, and like let's say Stephanie was the traitor, like I feel like you and Suri catch on to it pretty quickly. So are you guys gonna do something about it? Probably not. Because you're just like, it makes no sense to.
No, it makes no sense. Now. You almost want a traitor. I wish I would have explained this more, because I talked about it with Suri and I talked about it with Stephanie. You almost want a traitor to be in your alliance, because if the traitor feels comfortable with you, they're going to keep you around, right? Yep. Like, you want them to defend you in the traitor talks, because the traitors are going to sit there every single day and they're going to have anyone. They can murder anyone. So you're going to want them to be like, we should keep this person around because they're doing this or whatever. So you almost have to play a game where it's like, okay, I need to be enough of a target to where people want to keep me in as a shield, but not too much because I don't want to get banished. You have to be on the side with the traitors because you want the traitors to like not feel like you're on to them, because if they feel like you're on to them too much, they're going to want to banish you, or I mean murder you. But then you also have to be on a thing where you are like talking game and like throwing names out there. And I remember one of the reasons I was always like, okay, I need to make sure I'm good with Suri, make sure I'm good with Stephanie, was because I kept thinking in my head, like, if it was one of them, it has to be like, I have to be like, let them know I'm good with them and that they can like protect me, you know, and I can protect them. So I think, and I feel like I said that to Cody, and Cody brought it up. But like, I just don't remember. I don't remember when I said it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you need Suri there to talk Cody off the ledge.
Oh, like
for that, you.
That's so true. You need Suri as a traitor to talk all the traitors into making rational decisions.
Yep. Yeah. Suri is biting her tongue. So we shall see when that move is to be made. So let's see. It's time for the round table. And it begins with, so let's just talk about the note.
Note gate.
Yeah.
Note gate. And note gate, it doesn't go really anywhere. Like, it is thoroughly discussed, but Michael.
And nobody cares.
Yeah, Michael, you're still on everyone's lips. And which, you know, works out great at 1 a.m., but not in the middle of a round table.
No. Michael, calm out for creepy uncle jokes.
Oh, stop. All right. So, Rachel begins the voting with, I'm sorry, Michael.
Yeah. And she wrote, I'm sorry on there too, at least.
She did.
Yes. So.
And I did feel so bad because I didn't want to vote out Michael. And it was just like, what are you supposed to do? At that point, you know, he's going home. And like,
I would have voted me out. Like, I mean, if I was another player, I would have voted me out, because, I mean, their logic was,
guys, like, let him go or make him go, you know? Right. And nobody was letting me go, so let me get me out of there so I can play. So I would have voted me out. So.
And Kyle has a valid point there against you. And, like, even though it is insanity, literally the definition of insanity, what he's doing, but this is the last time of him doing the of same course. Thing. So yes. So it's time for you to go to the Circle of Truth, and you look to your best friend, Kate, and go, Kate, yes, I am. And everyone loses their mind.
We got like, one.
They finally got, oh, wait, a faithful.
No, I knew it.
And that immediately gets a response from Rachel going, you just manipulated that, Kate.
And Kate's just like, but everyone voted. Everyone voted this way.
Yeah, nope. It was just Kate. And Rachel at this point doesn't see a world in which Kate isn't the traitor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so hard though, because like I can understand people still believing Kate is one after that, because like at least based off the editing, when they're showing everyone reacting, like the only one who literally does not move their face, maybe because they can't, is Kate.
that's good work.
But either way, like she had no expression on her face. She's just like sitting there like, oh, I guess I was wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I don't think Kate cares.
She didn't care. She didn't care.
Like, not like doesn't like, you know, it's just like, oh, like, you know, it was Michael. Like, I just don't think Kate cares. Like, Kate's just like,
yeah,
this show is kind of stupid.
Or like, I will keep doing it.
Yeah, she's like I want to win, kind of, like, you know, because the money is different. The money's different, right? Okay, yes, I want to win. I am surrounded by idiots. They all have bad reads. and here we are. Yeah. Some people feel a great player can separate emotion. And like a young Johnny Fairplay could do that. 30-year-old Johnny Fairplay could do that. You know, 48-year-old Johnny Fairplay with a 5-year-old and a 14-year-old. I'm just like, you know, I cry during commercials now. But a 30-year-old Johnny Fairplay is on the same level as Kate. I'm just like, look, man, I you know, the Survivor was a game of 16 strangers. I don't know you people. Like, you're the difference between me and $1 million. Sorry, like, I'll buy you drinks when this is over. I'm sure you'll be my friend if I got the tab.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but it's different when you get older or you don't have that separation button. And you know, it's Kate has that separate. Good on her. But whew, that is a very valuable trait that could come back to haunt her. I don't know. So, but it is something special in the world of reality television to be able to do that. So, and some would describe that as a sociopath, Michael. So, Kyle feels bad. Does that make you feel good?
Absolutely.
Aww. Tell him you need a summer house. He'll know what it means.
Or a winter house.
Yeah.
just in case you were wondering, Kyle was deflecting off Kate, and Quentin wants everyone to know it. And Kate and Kyle are definitely the traitors. It is no one else. There's actually only two.
So that's why I love his delivery. I love how he like thinks things through. Like he may be wrong, but I love like based off logic that you can only take so much from. Like, it makes sense when he's talking about it.
Yeah.
And his delivery's great. As Michael says, just like, look, this guy's well-spoken.
And he's, like, so confident. Which is so, I think that was, like, a big thing that keyed in these two episodes for me was, like, for, like, the new players. Like, Michael, you stand out. You're, like, you're a character. You're yourself. Like, you're allowing yourself to be yourself and not being reserved. And you have Quinn, who I feel like truly is what Andy tried to claim in the first episode. Like Andy said, like, oh, I don't care. They're just people. Like, I think Quinn legitimately is there. There's like, these are just people. I'm going to speak how I'm going to speak to anyone else. It's like, this person's it. This person's it. And I have not figured out the third yet.
Yes, because there's only two, I'm pretty sure.
There are only two.
That is the twist. There are only two. it is time for the traders to chat in the turret. And Christian is waiting to hear what Cody and Cerise say, as always.
Yeah, dream team.
Oh, dream team. So, and
they admit that Michael, you struggling was tough, and it's like, oh, more like no one else has gotten love like this after being murdered.
True.
Like, I don't even think they said RZA's name again.
Good. Right.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but you guys were fighting the first mission.
But
very, very loudly.
I can't talk about why I didn't make edit anymore, okay? I'm gonna get like the worst email after this. So but yes, we were.
We were. Okay. Well, I feel like we saw that.
Yeah.
So and I feel Kate did too and told everyone in the house.
But I think Sari uses this moment where Cody's the one like trying to he's showing emotion over it, and she's like, let me see if I can prod this a little more. Like, yeah. I think she literally, it was like, she's the shark. And that was like the first drop of blood that Cody has dropped in this game. And she's like, okay, I'm going to hit him while he's down.
This is one of the first drops of blood we've seen in Cody in reality television.
Very flawless overall.
And Sari was ready for a drop of blood.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready for a drop of blood.
Yeah, because it's perfect because like you have them pitch Kyle, and they're like, well, Kyle and Lochte are both
the same person.
But
it's the difference. There's no difference between Kyle and Ryan. No,
well, there's a big difference in who you choose though, because like they're both working together potentially with Cody. But I think from Cerise's perspective, and it makes sense. One, you're hurting Cody, but two, if you're removing one of those two, Lochte's never going to be a banishment. He's never going to. So you have to be capable of murdering him. And if you aren't,
Lochte doesn't even know what traitor means.
Right.
So there's no way he's the traitor.
Well, and that was the thing too. Everybody in the game, we all said Lochte is a faithful. Like we just never even questioned it.
Done deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's still thinking about the Chinese food.
Yeah.
He's like, I hope they come back.
He gets murdered. He goes, can I go down and finish the Chinese? Or if he gets murdered.
They're like, we threw it out. Like, oh, which dumpster?
Yeah.
I'm just asking the questions here.
Yeah. Are there any Grey Goose bottles in that dumpster? There's rumor and innuendo there may be some Grey Goose bottles in there. So, yes. So. Sari is like, look, Kyle or Ryan is the pick, and Cody agrees they're both the same person. She goes, great, and so it's Ryan, and Cody is not happy.
He, as soon as he hits adversity, we've seen it on Big Brother, we see it here, and like we said last night, especially when it's typically a very strong, confident woman who's not going to back down, he immediately goes straight into, no, you're accusing. These are accusations. Like, this isn't you bringing it up. But he goes in total defense mode, which if you're Sari, you're like, bingo.
Yeah. Checkmate.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I have no problem by saying that. And then I would just be like, cool, do it. I'll watch you do it.
Yeah. You can write it today. Yeah, you can write it today. And Christian's like, please don't write down my name. Because last night, I heard you guys might do that.
Christian wasn't even saying that. He's just too busy trying to very sadly go dream team. Dream team.
This is the worst dream team ever.
But he's like, this could still work. Yeah. This could still work. Dream team. It's meant to work.
Yeah. All right. Well, this was my favorite episode, unfortunately, so far, Michael. But it is of no fault of your own, other than being awesome, and we love you, and we got an emotional connection, which I don't think we've had for anyone else that has been murdered thus far, and possibly for quite some time.
Listen, I take it as a compliment. Like, yeah. I don't know. I'm good with that. I'm good with that. Like, I would rather go out episode 4, like, playing than go out episode 9 floating. So I'm good
That's
with
right.
that. And I'm happy that everyone was like, wow, I gave that guy a hard way to go for no flipping reason at all. So I'm good. So
you're Tarzan from Australian Survivor.
Yeah.
Yeah, your fourth boot and you come back for All-Stars.
Yep.
Hopefully.
Boom, I'll take it.
And also I felt like, Michael, you were that the circle of death or destiny, whatever, was your like moment. Like that for me defines your season. It was just like
Yeah.
you're going to do what you got to do and you're going to, you know, take it for the team, but like keep playing, like you said.
Okay. So yeah. You mentioned you got the key to the city.
I did. I got I'm from a very small town, like the world's smallest town. Actually, funny story. Let me tell you how small it is. It was ranked the sixth poorest county in the entire nation by the last census poll.
You're making fun of the other five. Is that what you're doing? Is this your platform to do that?
Yes. And back on American Idol's big day, whenever they would do the Idol Gives Back and send celebrities, Jennifer Garner came to my hometown every year. Not even kidding you. And I'm not kidding you. The New York Times ranked it the hardest place to live. And it's a good place. It really is. The people are amazing. They're just, they're stereotypical, poverty stricken, what you would think when you think of Southeastern Kentucky with the trailers and the cinder blocks. And I mean, it's that town. That's what, most of the people are those people, but they're good people. And so my hometown made a big deal out of it. They gave me a little plaque. I got my own day. January 12th was Michael Davidson Day. And so it was pretty cool. My kids think I'm the coolest person ever. So,
and you said they were either going to do it, Wednesday or Friday? And you're
Yes. Yeah, so we did it Wednesday, and the mayor's office called, if you can't do it, it's okay, we'll do it Friday. But no, we got to do it Wednesday, because when you see how I act, you will totally not do it. We got to do it Wednesday. I'll be there, I promise. So, yeah.
They should have heeded your warning.
Mike, they all still love you. They're happy that you were on the show.
Yeah, yeah, they really are. I've gotten so much love from my hometown. It's insane, absolutely insane. I didn't think that many people. They probably don't like me, but the fact that they like me. They really like me. So I don't know. It's been so surreal. The other day I was at Walmart and some guy's hey, you're that one guy from that one show. And I'm putting that as my Instagram bio. That as my Instagram bio. So
you've already been recognized more than Jesse from season 43 of Survivor. So. Hi, Jesse. So this has been an incredible hour and 19 minutes. And if you have an extra hour and 19 minutes in your life to spare, please check out Michael's Instagram stories just for today. That would clock in right around 1 hour and 19 minutes, maybe slightly over. Michael, where can everybody find you on social media?
I'm only on Instagram. I deleted my Facebook and I had Twitter, but I don't know how to use it, and people are being really mean. I'm not a mean person, so I deleted the app. So I've only got Instagram, and I should have changed my name. It's @MichaelDavidson_.
Yep, that's it. Very easy, @MichaelDavidson_ after Davidson. Super easy to find. Michael hit me up, and after I blocked you, three times?
Did you block me?
No.
I didn't. Better not have.
I followed you back. No, Michael, you're incredible. I'm so glad the show is not the same without you. I am so happy that you're a part of it, and even happier that you joined us today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be a part of it, and I'm still hoping I get my selfie with Sri.
Good luck. I feel like that ship has sailed.
Oh, no. Sri loves Michael. You guys talk all the time, right?
We do talk all the time. She actually mentioned me in her winners article this morning on Us Weekly.
Beep, beep, beep. Can we just rewind that?
Oh, I don't know. I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that means either.
Okay. Bye. Okay.
So, edit that out, Johnny Fairplay.
I don't know anything.
It's already dropped. I already got episode 10. Jeez.
Michael, you are the worst.
I started on episode 10 and went backwards.
Yes. Okay. So, if anyone would like to meet Sari, she will probably be, I'm not positive, but if I had to bet money, I think she'll be joining me and the Queen, Sandra Diaz-Twine, for the premiere of season 44 Survivor in New York City. We're going to be at Bounce Nightclub March 1st, New York City. Tickets available right now at SurvivorTix.com. That's SurvivorTix.com. VIP will sell out. So it's at Bounce Nightclub, is super awesome. And get your tickets now. That's March 1st for the premiere. Also, tickets are on sale for Nashville. Me and Sandra will be there as well. That is March 15th, Nashville at Doghouse Saloon. And then March 22nd, we're going to be at Cincinnati at the Filson.
very, very high likelihood of a very, very special guest to be joining me and Sandra in Cincinnati. Tickets for that is March 22nd. Tickets for all those.
That's not far from me. I'll be there.
There you go. So we will see you. That's March 22nd in Cincinnati at the Filson. Tickets available for all of those at SurvivorTix.com. That's SurvivorTix.com. Oh, Michael, thank you.
I know I've ruined it. I'm sorry. I ruined it. I'm never coming back again.
I don't know.
You ruined nothing. You ruined nothing.
Sure. I'm hoping you haven't. And they can find you where?
And Michael Davidson _.
Yeah. Oh,
Dan, they can find you.
Oh, sorry. Me. Monchi 04.
Monchi 04. Alex, where can we find you?
You can find me at Atreus 95.
And Rachel Riley, where do you know? Did you figure it out?
I'm all over the internet. Oh, my TikTok. No, it's something about Rachel Villegas casting. I don't know. Honestly,
okay. But everywhere else.
My TikTok is horrible. That's why I don't have followers. I've come to that realization. Or if you want me to feel good about myself, then please do follow me on TikTok.
Okay, there you go. All right,
I need a self-esteem boost.
Yes. And I'm at Johnny Fairplay on everything. Remember, the best way to support the podcast, become a patron. Go to realitypatron.com. We have coverage of Australian Survivor Heroes versus Villains coming up at the end of January. We will have links to the episodes and the after show. So become a patron there. And we are doing episodes 5 and 6 based on Rachel's schedule.
Okay.
So, We'll put an alert out there. If you press the subscribe button on YouTube, you'll get an alert when the next episode is. So be ready.
It's and 7 and 8, 9 and 10.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're almost halfway there, folks, and I'm loving it. So thank you, everyone. And until next time. And for more bonus content, go to realitypatron.com. That's right, become a patron now. Get additional coverage of all your favorite shows, the weekly Q&A, and you become a member of the secret, exclusive Facebook group. That's realitypatron.com.